word. You know, okay, let's do one more thing before we get in the word. Thank you, worship team. We appreciate all that you do in coming in and bringing us into worship. That was just from my heart, okay? Now let's get into the word. So, because of all the turmoil that's going on in the world, you know, the wildfires, the hurricanes, the flooding, the murders, the suicides, all the bad stuff. Sometimes you hear people say, God is love. Why would he let that happen? And it is true. God is love. And you can see that in John 3:16, where he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is love. John 15:13-14 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, did you catch that last part? Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And you know, we have to admit, the vast majority of mankind is not doing whatsoever he commands us. Now, as I mentioned in those scriptures, you can see God's love. However, God is also wrath. How can God let this happen? God is also wrath. The psalmist writes in Psalm 7:11, he says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, he didn't say God is angry with the wicked sometimes, nor did he say God is angry with the wicked once a year, once a month, once a week, but he said God is angry with the wicked every day. Isaiah 13:9 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now, I'm not trying to be a rain on your parade day or anything like that. God's word is a fact. It's truth. I didn't write this. This is just what God's word said. And we have to heed to what God's word says. The world stage as a whole makes fun of God. You know, stand-up comedians, they got all the Christian jokes. You know, Pastor mentioned this last Sunday about the lady at the awards show. You know, they're tallying up who has the most points. And God came up with zero. And then the next day, the wildfires hit California. See, God has a wrath side. Thank God he has a love side too. Ezekiel 25 and 17 says, and I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall lay my vengeance upon them. And, you know, as things started transpiring over this past week, and I was talking with Pastor about it, you know, with the wildfires and the hurricanes and the flooding and the tornadoes. And I told him, I said, isn't it interesting that for the most part, they call those acts of God? Now, how can you call it an act of God, but you do not acknowledge God? But they'll call it an act of God. Now, I know some of y'all are looking at me going, well, Sister Lincoln, those scriptures you read, those are Old Testament stuff. We're under a new covenant. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, we are. So let me tell you what the new covenant says about God's wrath, okay? John 3:36. He says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abided on him. Romans 1 and 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Ephesians 5 and 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your presence one more time. And God, I just ask that you touch each and every one of our hearts, make it into good ground so that we can receive the seed of your word. As you speak today, God, I ask that you open our ears, open our eyes, help us to see you in your word. And Father, I just ask that you bless all those who gave an offering. Bless those who had a desire to give, but did not have anything to give. And God, we just praise you and we magnify you in your holy name. Amen. Now, I know I've been rambling along for a minute, and all of what I was talking about may not seem like good news to your ears. But you know, the good news is that God does not want any of his children to be lost. He has no desire to see any of mankind end up in the lake, which he prepared for Satan and his angels, but mankind seems to be just wanting to go. But that's not what he wants for his children. And if we look at Isaiah chapter 1. Now, when you look at the book of Isaiah as a whole, Isaiah was speaking to Judah, the nation of Judah. And throughout the chapter, throughout the whole book, man was evil. Man was vile. Man was doing despicable things. And at one point early on in the first chapter, Isaiah said that even their animals had more sense than the men. So they refused to acknowledge God. They refuse to, they go to the temple, but their offering was not an offering from the heart. You know how sometimes we come to church on Sunday and it's not because we really want to go and be in the presence of God, or we want to go and hear God's word, or we want to go because we want to be obedient to God's word. We come in because I need to see who's going to be here on Sunday and what Sister So-and-so is wearing. It's not what's in our heart to be obedient to God's word. It's not what's in our heart to want to come into his house and spend time with him and be in his presence, but it's, I want to go see my friend. This is all about a social club. And see, and that's basically how they were doing the offerings in the temple. Yeah, they were given the offerings, but their heart wasn't in the offerings that they were given. And so God sent Isaiah with this word. And you know, as I looked at what was going on in those days, I thought, we could literally lift everything going on in their time into this time. Men are ungodly. Men are unthankful. Men don't have a desire to serve God. Men want to do what men want to do. This is the hour that we're living in. But because of God's grace, his mercy, you know, we don't like to think that we are totally depraved. It's real easy to look at that person right there, and yes, they are totally depraved, and they don't have it going on, but I do. But the bottom line is, we are all totally depraved. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So the only good thing that we have going for us is the love of God. And if we do not acknowledge and accept the love of God, we are yet that vile, that evil, degraded person. But here in Isaiah 1 and 18, thank you, Jesus, God says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, and for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So as I said earlier, it is not God's desire to see anybody lost. And he's saying, come now. And when you look at this verse, come now, let us reason together. Not only is it poetry to my ears, it's joy for my soul. It gets my heart bouncing because I'm thinking, okay, I am in the wrong. I have been in the wrong. I will be in the wrong. But my Father is saying, come now. Let us reason together. And as I read this scripture, I thought about two sides of my life. The side when I was a child and my parents. And then the side of me being a parent with my child. Come now, let us reason together. Whew. We raised two, thank God, only two. But when you're trying to reason with a child, it is not always an easy task. Because their mindset is not the way that their mindset needs to be to reason with them. But as a parent, you have to decide, okay, am I still going to try and work with my child? Because any good parent does not want to have a bad child. I used to tell people all the time, they tell me, oh, when you get your grandbaby is going to be spoiled. And I told them, yep, you're right. My grandbaby is going to be spoiled. However, my grandbaby is not going to be a brat because I don't do bad kids. Now, thank God that I am not God, because God has a whole bunch of bad kids. He got a whole bunch of brats. Yet he's still saying, come now, let us reason together. You know, and it's so easy to think about as we sit here and we hear that. I'm sure, for the most part, I can't speak for everybody, because, you know, when you're 100% sure, you better check yourself. But I'm sure some folks in here, when I said about being a brat and come now and let us reason together and God got some bad kids, we could at least think of one person who we thought was one of God's bad kids. And it wasn't me, okay? But he said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, one of the things I did when I read this scripture, I went to Webster's and I looked up the word invite. And they had a whole bunch of different definitions for invite. But the two that stood out to me said, to request the presence or participation of, to offer an incentive or inducement. And here, God is with his invite. Come now, let us reason together. He's requesting our presence to be in his presence. He's requesting our participation to take part in what he has for us. He's offering us an incentive. And you go, well, what's the incentive? The blessings of God and the fact that we don't have to go to hell. I don't know about anybody else, but that's enough incentive for me that I don't have to go to hell. And so he's extended that invite. You know, and I thought, I thank God that back in June 1985, on the living room floor in my apartment in Frankfurt, West Germany, I accepted that invite. He said, come. I said, yes, Lord. He said, you don't have to live the way that you've been living. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're vile. We're evil. We're despicable. We don't like to say that about ourselves, but without Jesus, that's exactly who we are. And he allowed me to come over to his way of thinking. He allowed me to come over to his way of living. Now, I say he allowed me because I like to get personal with my relationship. But he allows all mankind who will accept his invite to come over to his way of thinking, to come over to his way of living, to come over to his mindset. But we have to make the decision as to whether or not we want to accept the invite. Now, I mentioned that incentive about not going to hell. But I can stand here today, and unless my mindset changes, I can say with an assurity that because I haven't accepted the invite, I will not be standing in front of the great white throne of judgment. Anybody else? Oh, you know, it's kind of quiet in here. And I'm going, okay. I'll be standing there going, hey, I'm looking for sister. What happened to the? Okay. But we don't have to. So long before Jesus came to this earth, God had already prepared a way. And we can go back even to the garden. As I said, it is not God's intent for any of mankind to be lost. Yet, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, what did he do? He made them coats of skin because those fig leaves weren't doing anything. But he was preparing for them to make it to the place when Jesus would come. It's not in God's heart to condemn anyone. And so, as I said, he's inviting us to a dialogue. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. But I think sometimes we get confused when we think about that dialogue that he's inviting us to. He's not inviting us to a negotiation. He is not inviting us for us to come in and say, I heard what you said, Lord, but really I think I want to do it this way. That's not what he's inviting us to. He's inviting us to a time to sit down and reason, because, you know, we used to say about Shekinah, when she would get herself in a mess, we would have to touch her reality. Sometimes God has to touch our reality to help us to see, you know, it's like if she would come to me and I'd say, do such and such, so and so, and now she's going to talk to me and say, well, Mama, that's not what I want to do. You know, I really want, no, that's not what God is inviting us to do. We don't have any negotiation in this dialogue, because everything that mankind has is as filthy rags. There is nothing that can justify us in the eyes of God. So, him inviting us to reason together is not a negotiation. But him inviting us to reason together shows his justice, his grace, his mercy, his love for mankind. Say, I'm giving you an opportunity to come here. Let's sit down. Let's go over what I want for your life. But we're quick to think it's not about what God wants. It's about what I want. Because, you know, after all, it is all about me. No, it is not all about me. I was listening to a message on the radio a couple of days ago. Pastor was preaching. And he was talking about the biggest devils in our life, the big three. Me, myself, and I. And in this conversation, this reasoning, it is not about me, myself, and I. It's all about what God wants for our life. And so he's inviting us to this dialogue. But, you know, as I'm reading this and I say, come now, let us reason together. But when you actually do the study and you look up what the word come now means, it is not a come now, let us reason together. It's a come, command now, let us reason together. You know, God is not going to make us do anything that we want to do. We don't want to do. But yet and still, he's saying, come now. There is an urgency for you to come. Because if you do not come now, you're going to stay in the same state that you're currently in. And the state that mankind is currently in is sending them down a straight path to hell. So we need to detour from that road. We need to get into an urgency to come now and sit down and reason with him. And how we can how we can reason with him is based on his word. Now, if you don't spend any time in the word, then you have no reasoning tools that you can talk to him. God speaks Bible. It's just like if somebody started talking to me in German, I would look at them and have no idea what they were talking about, or Spanish or French, or, okay, so I know a little French, not enough to make it, but I would have no idea what they were saying. If we do not spend time in God's word, if we do not study to show ourselves approved, then how can we sit down and reason with him and talk to him in the same language that he's talking to us? We have to spend some time in his word. So this invitation has been extended to all of mankind. It doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter. It is extended to all of mankind. And in this invite, we can taste and see that the Lord is good. In this invite, we can see that this invite is just a foreshadow of things to come, which is Jesus. And see, and that's where, when we sit down and reason with God and we get a better understanding of his word, and we understand exactly what it is that he has prepared for us, his plan for us, the plan of salvation, which the plan of salvation is Jesus Christ. Christ and him crucified. That's the plan of salvation. And so here, this scripture in Isaiah was just a foreshadow of things to come, which is Jesus. Because God is saying, though your sin be crimson, I'll make it white as snow. The only way that our sins can be cleansed is by the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that we can do in ourselves. We can't work upon it. We can't earn it. We can't pray enough for it. We can't do enough good works. It's only by the blood of Jesus. And so this is a foreshadow of the blood of Jesus being applied to our life. And when we look at Matthew 11, 28, because Jesus has some, I just like to shorten and say, some invites. He has some invites for us. And here in Matthew 11, 28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And here Jesus is inviting us, anyone that is burdened down with sin, anyone that is burdened down with the situations in life, anyone who is burdened down and in bondage to religious legalism, he's saying, come to me. I'm inviting you to come. I'm inviting you to get close to me. And if you come to me, I will give you rest. If you come to me, you can take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You don't have to be worried about the way of the world and the things that the world is making you do. Come to me. Come now. Come rest in me. You know, if you've ever really been tired, and then you got to the point to where you could rest, and it's like you go, that's what Jesus is telling us that we can do. We can come to him. You know, we come in, it's hard, I'm burdened, I got this, that, and the other. But we can come to him and we can go, we can come to him and we can give him all of our burdens. And then we can take his yoke upon us. We can be yoked up with Jesus. You know, I'd rather be yoked up with Jesus than woked up with the best person that, you know, our world says, whoever that person may be. I don't know, because I don't know who the best person is. But I'd rather be yoked up with Jesus, because his burden is easy. His burden is light. And we can find rest for our souls. I don't know if you've ever really been tired, but if you ever really been tired and you get an opportunity to get some rest, it's just like, whew. And so Jesus is inviting us to come to him. John 6 and 35 says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And here he is inviting us to enjoy everything in life that we need. Everything. In order for a man to be sustained on this earth, we need food, we need water, we need air, but that's a whole nother story in itself because he got that all wrapped up. Just take a deep breath and you'll know. But he's saying, come to me because I am that bread of life. And if you're hungry, you're not going to hunger anymore. If you're thirsty, I'm going to quench that thirst. And it goes on, even when he says he will give us something that is going to be like a well of water flowing out of us, springing up in us, that everlasting life, that flow that just continues to go. But that's when we accept his invite. So here we have these invites. And we just have to decide, do we accept them or do we reject them? God started out looking at us as being the vile, evil, despicable people that we are. But yet, he was willing to sit down. He was willing to say, come, let us reason together. He was willing to send his only begotten son to this earth to die, not because of anything that the son had done, but he died because of what I have done. He died because of what you have done. He died because of what all of mankind has done. Because as I said in the beginning, God does not desire to see any of his children lost. We have a way of escape. All we have to do is accept the invite that has been given to us. And when we accept that invite, we don't just take the invite, put it on the shelf, but we accept that invite and then we walk in that invite. We have a change in our mindset. We have a change in our walk. We have a change in our talk. Because that's why Jesus died on the cross, to make that change for us. God's invitations in the Bible, they demonstrate his love and his desire for everyone to come to him to find forgiveness, and this one I really like, and an experience of life transforming, meaning that the way that I was walking the day before I accepted that invite on my living room floor, that vile creature, I don't have to be that person anymore. I can allow him to have made that, as I say, 180 degree change. Because, you know, people like to say 360. Well, that's a full circle. I don't want to go back to where I was. I want to go in the opposite direction that I was walking in. I want 180 degree change. He made that 180 degree change in my life. And I've been able to walk in that 180 degree change for the last 40 years. I tell you, God is good. But we have to allow him, we have to accept the invite that he has given us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy and righteous Father, Lord, we thank you for the invite. We thank you for your loving kindness that you have just continued to draw us, regardless of what we're doing, what we're thinking, how we're doing. Your love just continues to draw us. And Lord, I just ask that you don't let us wait too late to accept your invite. Help us to make that decision right now, Lord. Help us to be able to walk in your ways. Think the way that you think. Talk the way that you talk. God, we just ask that you continue to keep your hand upon our life. Continue, Lord, to allow your angels to be encamped round about us. Lord, and we just thank you and we praise you.
Thank you, Lord. I was thinking about what that really means when he says, come, let us reason together. And it's like he's just opening up his word and saying, let me show you why this way is better. Let me show you why the way that you're going is the wrong way. Let me show you the big picture. Let me show you Jesus. Let me show you the path that he wants to take us on. So I hope that you were blessed by the word this morning. I know I was. And if you haven't had a chance to give for your offering, please do so. We all know the ways to do that in the back, in the kiosk, in the lobby. You can also do the text to give. Our donation page has changed, as Sister Lincoln mentioned this morning. So don't be alarmed by that. It looks a little different. Also, we have this commentary on the book of Thessalonians. So if you'd like to get a copy of that, just see the greeters out in the lobby and they'll make sure you get one. Well, if you'll just stand, I'll just go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, once again, we thank you so much for loving us, Lord, for showing us a better way, Lord, for showing us your son. Father, we ask that you would just allow us to be obedient to you, Lord. When you begin to show us things, allow us to be obedient and open to that invitation, Lord. And that we wouldn't walk away and go back the way that we were going, but we allow you to turn us that 180 degrees so we can walk in your way. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And you are dismissed.